advise. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. Dr. Drew is not here. He claims to love the kids, but, well, he's just never here to say how much he loves them. But the dedicated one is, that'd be me, and filling in for Dr. Drew tonight, Dr. Ben is here. Now,
hi.
Dr. Ben has done this show on a more than one occasion, I believe, or at least one occasion.
Right.
Whatever he did last time, he was fine, so we had him back, and it was either that or Dr. Bruce, so what are you going to do? He is a gynecologist and a OBGYN, so he can answer your questions regarding that part of the anatomy tonight, and birth control, pregnancy, yeast infections, all of that stuff. He's knee-deep in it every single day of his godforsaken life, so he knows all about it, and tonight, as we usually do when we have someone sitting in for Dr. Drew who has a certain field of expertise, we're more than happy to guide some of the questions in that direction. You might as well take advantage of Dr. Ben and his tremendous knowledge of the vagina tonight. Well, let me just say this, Dr. Ben. Mm-hmm. Oh, phone number, by the way, 1-800-LOVE-191. You know, I'm a weird guy, but to me, like watching, I don't want to see my kid born. Do most fathers want to see that? I mean, I know they have to say they want to see it.
Goes on in the old vagina,
you know what I mean? Because the wife will freak on them. But do most guys, you think, when push comes to shove, really want to be in there?
You know, I think it's, you know, everybody has their own opinion, but I think most people in a good relationship do want to be with each other, and the father has actually a lot of interest. I see a lot of fathers coming in even before the baby's born, just, you know, for prenatal care. So I think, yeah, there's definitely that interest. It's that unknown factor. I think a lot of guys just want to know what that's all about. So I think
I got a pretty fair idea what it's about, and not, you know,
how do you have a fair idea?
Well, let me put it this way. I don't know what, let's say, the Muslim religion is all about per se, but you know what? I know enough. Not interested. You know what I mean? I'm not going to Kabul.
Uh-huh.
I know enough.
Uh-huh.
There's certain foods I know enough about I don't need to eat. There's certain rides I can just look at. Just walk in the amusement park, I look at them and go, that's enough.
Mm.
And when it comes to birthing, that's the exact way I feel.
Mm.
Seen some pictures, seen some footage, heard some screaming, got a pretty fair idea how it works, and I would just like to be in another part of the hospital.
Yeah, interesting. You know, but there are, especially when it's your own child, I think you may feel differently. Who knows? I don't know. I can't speak for you, Adam, but, you know, you may feel differently when it's your kid.
But, like, what happens when he's 9 and he's taking a crap? Do I got to stand next to him then? Or is he okay on his own at that point? Do I have to be there for every waking moment is what I'm saying.
It's your decision.
You deliver? Do you deliver kids?
Sure.
Do you do it? How many do you do a year?
Well, you know, every obstetrician will have a different number, and it would depend on, you know, whether they're in an HMO practice, how many patients they're actually seeing. But, you know, on average, about 5 to 10 a month would be kind of in the ballpark. So you do the math. That's in private practice. That's, you know, about what many obstetricians see.
And your folks are okay with you playing God that way? I have no problem with that.
No, you're not playing God. You're just helping people have healthy
deliveries. I think playing God, but it does on a serious note. It's got to be kind of rewarding to be.
It's wonderfully rewarding.
Well, I mean, here's what I mean. You have a job where maybe it's not as obviously it's not as important to you as it is to the parents of the child. Now, you don't want to see the kid, you know. Kid die
you
there
want everybody
the slab.
To do well.
You want everyone to do well. But what I mean is for these people, this is could be the most important day of their life.
Sure.
And your job is being there and aiding them in the most important day of their life,
mm-hmm.
which must be kind of rewarding.
It's wonderfully rewarding.
I mean, as opposed to, you know, there's certain jobs like meter maid where mm-hmm. anyone you come across is pissed off at you.
Yeah.
You've ruined their day.
Right.
Every time you have an encounter with the public, they're pissed.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of jobs that way.
Uh-huh.
But your job, every time you have an encounter with somebody, it's monumentous. They're taking videotape and they're you know, handing out cigars.
Yeah, well, I don't want you to think that every encounter is the best. I mean, bad things can happen.
Right.
And all kinds of stuff can happen.
Sure,
but in
you're
general,
drunk, you twist an umbilical cord around a neck. I know. You've told me the stories off the air.
I think last time you said that these doctors that stand around in the room with a fake rubber nose and big floppy shoes, I think is the remark that I heard you say before. We don't do that.
You mean Patch Adams?
No, we don't do that.
Okay. All right. Well, you deliver babies and know all about the delivery system, and it doesn't ruin it for the guys, huh? Sexually.
You know, I don't talk to the guys as much as I do to
Smart.
My female patients, so I can't speak for the guys.
Do you ever have any of the guys giving you the stink eye? You know what I mean? Checking out their wife, standing on the business end of the vagina that way. No guys?
Some do. No.
Yeah?
Some actually
like
hold
you around there?
Some guys hold a video camera from that angle, and it all depends on, you know, what the parents want as an experience from their birthing experience.
There are no laws in California about holding a video camera over there at that angle. There,
no,
nothing?
It's whatever the parents want.
Really?
I spread the video cameras out. Let's get busy.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not old-fashioned, but I find that in sort of poor or bizarre taste. I just find it. I'm not angry at it. Mm-hmm. I'm not offended. I'm an atheist, for Christ's sake. I just find it strange. I don't need a videotape of my kid's head crowning out of my wife's coochie hole.
So you'd be the guy who, after everything's done, we'd call downstairs and have you come up and take a look at it.
Downstairs?
Your baby. Well,
call me on my cell phone. You call me
in
on the 17th green. I here's my thing. I'm just old-fashioned. I like that Fred McMurray thing where he's pacing up and down in the waiting room with the cigars, that sort of thing. And then the first time I see the kid is through the window.
Yeah.
And then the next time I see the kid, college graduation. Because I go right from the hospital to military school.
Mm.
That's my plan.
Yeah.
Right directly into military school. Sandy?
Yes?
You're 18.
Yes. Hi, Sandy.
What's up?
I have something right inside my vagina that looks like a canker sore that you get inside your mouth.
Yep.
And I was wondering if that is a symptom of herpes.
That would be the most common symptom of herpes. So if you're asking me if I think this is herpes, you're describing a herpetic lesion.
So
it sounds like you do. Do you have any questions about that? Is this the first time you've noticed anything like that?
This is the first time I noticed anything, and I really don't know how I got it, if it is herpes, because I've been in a monogamous relationship for about 10 months now.
Okay, so herpes is sexually transmitted, and the most common genital herpes would be herpes that would be transmitted to you genitally. However, you can also have gotten herpes by having oral, or your partner giving you oral intercourse while he had a canker sore. Herpes is a virus that can be transmitted to the vagina from cankers in the mouth.
Yeah, well, what about Drew always talking about you don't necessarily have to have an active lesion?
That's
or
right.
Noticeable lesion.
That's right. So people can be what are known as asymptomatic shedders. In other words, they can give you the virus without having themselves any symptoms whatsoever.
Call them mules. People from the Hollywood, they would call them herpes mules.
Right.
They just transmit the herpes back and forth. They don't actually do the herpes. They just move it around.
Yeah, so...
nice mule sound.
Yeah.
You don't have a mule, you don't have a donkey bray in there? Really, just a horse, just a lone ranger. That's a mule, all right.
So, Sandy, that's basically how you can get herpes, and it's not necessarily if your partner had an active lesion at the time, although that's when people are most infectious, is when there is an active lesion. And then,
okay, so I could have gotten it if he had gone... Given me oral sex while he didn't have a canker sore before.
Yes, even
a canker sore before.
That's correct.
But it's less likely.
It's much less likely. So even though the answer to that is yes, it is much less likely. And I think just a couple of things that you need to keep in mind as far as this particular episode. First of all, we now have very good medications that would probably decrease the total amount of time that you have this lesion active. So if you can get to a physician relatively soon and get a prescription for some of the new medications that are out there, it could cut the amount of time that you will have this out there on your body, which can be very painful, as you know, basically lasts about half as long as it would had you not gotten treatment. And then secondly, again, you know, you're young and you have some time to think about this, but for you long term, as far as any unhealthy side effects, the only thing that we can think of long term with this is possibly around the time that you deliver. If you have an outbreak, Sandy, you at right around the time that you are ready to deliver the baby, we try to decrease the chance that the baby will pick up the virus by going through the birth canal. So around that time, your obstetrician may talk to you about having a C-section to prevent that transmission. So that's the long-term consequence of this for you.
What percentage? And Sandy, so go see your doctor.
Right.
Ben, don't try to help everybody. Easy boy. It's going to be a long night. Some people you got to tell, you know, just go see your doctor and take care, you know, keep your head up. You give them that kind of, you give them that sort of generic stuff. Like, hey, keep on keeping on.
Go see your doctor.
There you go. Mm-hmm. And what percentage of people are getting a C-section these days?
You know, that's a very good question. We can talk about this for ages, but let me give you the short answer. In most hospitals, C-section rates in the United States hover around 23% to 25% now nationally. And it does change based on whether you're having your baby in a community hospital or in a teaching hospital. And the difference is that community hospitals, maybe because of medical, we're not quite sure, but it may have to do with how quickly somebody gets an epidural, which increases the risk for C-section. It may have something to do with medical liability when you have a private physician who's worried perhaps of getting sued when the least problem occurs during labor.
Well, which one is higher?
Those would be the higher
the
cases.
Community?
So the community hospitals, and if you go to a teaching institution where you have residents, where you have more of an academic setting, when they kind of go by the book a little bit and are much more, let's just call it, patient with labor, mm-hmm. your chance of having C-section is probably less.
Do you like the natural birth more than the C-section?
Well, you know, there's risks and benefits to everything. C-sections, you involve somebody's losing about twice as much blood as you do in a vaginal delivery. Recovery time at home is completely different when you look at a C-section versus vaginal delivery. So, you know, in general, my philosophy is that you let everybody try to have a baby vaginally, and you do your best to give them that opportunity. And then if all else fails, certainly before you get close to endangering anybody's health, you go ahead and do a C-section. But it's usually the last resort for me.
How do you do that C-section? I mean, you cut the stomach open, but what do you do with the muscle? Do you cut it or you pull it aside?
You pull it aside. In fact, in a lot of women who've had C-sections or even very large babies, you have a little diathesis. There's just a little, you know, the muscle can take a little bit of time before it completely comes back.
Listen,
right in the middle.
You are the only one involved with this show who's ever heard the word diathesis. I guarantee you that.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure if I want to even know what it means. What does that mean,
well,
diathesis?
Well, just kind of a little potential space that occurs when you pull the muscles apart.
Oh, my God.
Like a weakness.
That's, to me, I wouldn't call that a C-section. I call it alien birth. Remember an alien? We popped out.
Yeah,
that guy. Start calling it the alien birth.
Yeah, the cafeteria birth.
I bet you if you stop calling it a C-section and start calling it the alien birth,
it would
go way down from 24% down to almost nothing. See, it's all in the naming.
You're right.
Mike, C-section, way too nice. Sounds easier.
Mm.
Mike, you're 17. What's up?
Lately I've been arguing with my parents about getting my eyebrow pierced, and I was just wondering what the risks are involved, like pretty much what's the worst that can happen if I did get that. And, you know, because I was talking to them about getting my lip pierced, and my mom started thinking about oral cancer, and I just don't know.
Doesn't want her son to be a freak, that's all.
Well,
you understand that?
Yeah.
She wants you to get a job?
Yeah.
It's not so much about cancer, it's more about you being a cancer on her and your family by never being able to leave the goddamn house because you're all carved up by the time you're 19 years old and you can't get a steady gig. It's that kind of cancer she's talking about.
And see, my parents,
proverbial cancer.
My parents have always been really cool about letting me do things. And, you know, I'm pretty sure that if they found out that there's pretty much nothing that could go bad or nothing terrible that could come from it, I would be able to do it. So,
what do you know about piercings?
Well, just in general, piercings, it's interesting because there was just recently I read about one case, just a case report about an 18-year-old female who had her tongue pierced, and then about 2 to 3 weeks later began developing very severe headaches and a fever, and ended up having a brain abscess, which was successfully drained. And it's kind of the first basically connection that somebody made with that particular problem. But you have to understand,
the
Mike,
tongue is worse than the brain.
Yeah, I mean, but in general, Adam, all, you know, the face is an extremely vascular Oregon. The skin on the face, extremely vascular, and any invasion into that vascular space can potentially cause an infection. And so probably the most common complication from something like that would be an infection. Now, true, most of the time you can get rid of the infection by taking the piercing out, giving some oral antibiotics, and things would settle out and would not lead to abscesses and things of this nature that are much more complicated.
Right, so but they don't care that much.
But that's essentially it.
Don't try to help so much. Mike?
Yeah.
Okay, just have fun pissing off your parents, okay?
All right, thank you. Long live the fox, Adam.
All right, yeah, it was a great man. This, here's the deal. It's not going to kill you.
No.
But you know
not.
What? You're not getting laid either. So why not just don't mess with it. I just hate anyone who tries to do anything. I don't like that.
They should all sit at home and watch The Man Show.
That's right. Just everyone just go home and just wait for death. Now, Chris?
Yeah?
You're 16?
Yeah.
What's up?
I actually got through last night, but I got your alter ego, so I didn't get in five words edgewise.
You were on while Ace Rockola was on?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay. Yeah. So here's my thing.
You got a little yeasty on the peckaroo.
What?
Oh, yeah. You better hope he doesn't rear his ugly head again. Yeah, you got the two girlfriends.
Yeah, and the thing is one of them, it's like, one of them I see every couple of weeks, and it's just purely physical. It's just nothing but sex. But, like, I got one that's serious that's I see every day, but, you know. It's,
which one lives further away?
The one that's like the one that I just have sex with.
How far away does she live?
Chatsworth, and I live in Ventura.
Oh, the Chatsworth, that's a strike. That dump of a city. And the other one lives closer.
The other one lives in town.
All right, well, which one's better looking?
You know what? They're both pretty hot.
Well, one of them's got to be hotter than the other. You just pick one, would you? What do you want us to say?
Well, the thing is that I'm not getting anything from the one in town. So
Well, why not?
She's just like really religious, and you know, I'm
good. All right. Well, she's too good for you then. So dump her and go out with the slut from Chatsworth.
The slut from Chatsworth.
Yeah.
Okay.
So all right, there, Chris. And
the thing is that I don't know if I want to exploit that because she seems to be like one of those chicks that might have had, you know, something in her past that causes her to just, you know, be totally.
She's a little crazy. Well, you don't have to marry her. Just don't get her pregnant. You smoke a lot of weed?
No, none.
Okay. Don't get her pregnant. Do you hear me?
Okay.
Okay.
That's your advice. Just go with the.
Go with the one that's further away. But open for business, but don't get her pregnant. Well, she does live in Chatsworth. The valley's such a dump. Where are you from, Ben?
The city, I guess, at this point. I'm kind of in Glendale most of the time.
Where were you born?
Oh, very far away.
Where, like Canoga Park?
No. Like in the Middle East.
The hill, like Simi Valley?
Like way over the hill.
Middle East?
Yeah.
Valley, like Encino?
No, like in Israel. Like
Where's that? Like Glendale area?
Yeah, pretty much. Just east of Glendale. Cool. Just you have to take the tent for a while though.
I knew some dudes from Israel. Did you guys go to like what high school's out there? Taft or Marshall or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have a great soccer team.
Oh, Israel?
Yeah.
They're good.
Yeah.
They're good because they're low and they look down when they walk. They're good. They're good. No, so you got to be short to play soccer.
Right.
You got to be down.
Yeah,
down
closer
the
to the ball.
Yeah, you like
better
dribble.
Balance.
You dribble with your knees. All right. Where the hell were we?
Maybe over here.
Melissa?
Uh huh.
Yeah, how you doing? You ever go back to Israel?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. See the relatives every couple of years?
I always say this, but I only know Israel from watching the news and watching commercials once in a while where people beg you to come to Israel. And I never trust a city when I see the commercial where they beg you to come out. Mm. Come on, it's safe. Come on. I always go, I don't know.
Well,
I don't buy it I always feel like they're covering something up when they're telling you how safe and nice it is. You should come on out. But, I wouldn't go to Israel.
I would not at this time of year. Not right now.
Well, what's over there, though? I mean, you got your homeland, right?
You got Jerusalem.
All right, but so what? Pack it up and move over here.
It's incredible.
I mean, Jerusalem's
no matter
nice.
What religion you are, and if it's an incredible city. Just to walk the streets of Jerusalem is an experience.
Why? What if you're an atheist? Would it be good?
You know, let me let you in on something. I remember, you know, I'm not Christian, but I walked through the Christian holy places, and you end up you go into the mosques, and you are just overtaken by what it means to so many people. I mean, it's a place of such importance to, even if it isn't to you, you can feel something when you walk through those places that's beyond you.
But like, what about all the people, like when some Mexican chick sees Jesus in a tortilla and the whole neighborhood comes by? Do I have to be moved by the tortilla, or can I just be a tortilla to me? Do you know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
To me, it's just a million years of crazy people worshiping a rock. Mm. That's all it all is to me. I know I've offended you enough.
No, you haven't.
The whole thing over there just sounds, it's total insanity to me. Mm. I can't figure out why everyone doesn't love the freedom of being an atheist.
Which is great.
You just screw all that crazy crap and all you idiots over there living on a rock and praying to God knows what, that someone's going to do something for you that never comes, that never arrives, and then you die, and then your relatives go on praying for you, but something's going to work out better, and it never does.
He is a world-class...
Be an atheist and do what you want.
Yeah, well, you know, that's...
You're an atheist now?
No, I'm just saying that there's something about being somewhere where there's just more than what you are seeing. There's so much connected to it, the history connected to it, the emotional connection that is an incredible experience.
Okay. All right. So for an atheist, it might be like going over to Area 51 over there, wherever the hell that is, like going to Roswell. Something could happen over there.
You know what, Adam? Maybe when you go, you come back, can tell me if it felt that way. I have no
idea. Going to Israel. I'm booking a flight tomorrow, and I'm going to Israel.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take ourselves a little break. Dr. Ben is filling in for Dr. Drew tonight, who will be back on Sunday. Dr. Drew took a crazy trip where he took a boat through the Panama Canal, went to Cuba, and all kinds of crap like that. So we'll get the skinny on that when he comes back on Sunday. Dr. Ben is a gynecologist and OBGYN, so he knows all about that stuff. So that's the way we're going to steer it tonight. So if you have those questions, tonight's the night to call, and we'll be right back after this. Everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Ben filling in for Dr. Bruce, who was filling in for Dr. Drew, who is coming home from his whirlwind trip of the world, really. I mean, he was going through the Panama Canal, and he was taking a cruise, and his wife's a cruise director. No, what does she do? Travel agent. So, anyway, he had a good thing going. And I guess he'll be back this weekend, so we'll see him here on Sunday. Meanwhile, Dr. Ben is just as qualified as Dr. Drew. Maybe not with the addiction medicine, but he certainly knows about the gynecology and about birthing and about birth control and all that stuff. So if you have those questions tonight, this is the time to ask them. Melissa?
Hello.
You're 29?
Uh-huh.
What's up?
I just had a question, because when I urine, it burns, and then when I have sex, and when my husband comes, and the doctor thought that I had a bladder infection, but she checked that, and it was nothing, and she did a pelvic ultrasound, and she said that I had, like, a little cyst on my ovary.
Yeah.
But I try so many creams and everything, and it doesn't work, and it burns, and it's sensitive.
Yeah. Well, Melissa, there's a couple of things that could be going on. First of all, what do you guys use for birth control?
Well, she wants to put me on one, but she hasn't yet, because she wants to do another pelvic ultrasound.
Okay, now, in other words, if you get pregnant right now, would that be okay?
No.
So what are you using for birth?
My tubes.
You've had your tubes tied already?
Yeah. I have two kids.
Okay. Right. So you have birth control. You had a tubal ligation.
Uh-huh.
You can't get pregnant.
No.
Okay.
Hey, Melissa.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, feel free to bring that up, you know, when he's talking about birth control.
Uh-huh.
And as far as the sperm burning, is that always been the case, or is that something that's all of a sudden happening that didn't happen before? You've had two kids with the same man.
Yeah, it didn't happen before, and it's got worse, and then I got discharged, and it's hard to have sex, and we use condoms.
Mm-hmm. So
she sees me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that burns also.
Okay, so the condoms burn, and when you're not using condoms, the sperm burns. Everything burns.
Yeah, and then it feels like it hurts a lot and real sensitive.
Maybe God is just telling you not to have any more sex. I mean, everything burns. It all burns.
Okay. And one last question, Melissa, and then maybe we can talk about where you can go with this. But are you still having regular periods at this point?
Yeah, and I noticed that when I do have my period.
Let me guess, it burns? It burns, right?
Yeah, and it hurts. Okay. I'm like, I can't take it, and I take me a bath.
What about when the water hits your vagina when you get in the tub? Does it burn?
Yeah.
Yeah, and when air hits it, it burns?
Yeah.
And when the earth turns, it burns?
Uh-huh.
When the moon circles around the earth, it burns?
Yeah,
and it hurts.
I see. Your vagina's basically on fire constantly, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Especially when I urinate, it's like...
You urinate, it burns.
Yeah, because I drink a lot of water.
Right. What about number two? Burns?
No.
No? Okay. Well, there's your plan. Continuous flow of excrement coming out from your rear end, and you'll be fine, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so Melissa, it's probably more than just a bladder infection. And wherever you are right now, I don't know when the next time you're going to see your gynecologist. This is the kind of stuff that physician needs to hear more than, you know, maybe talking to you about doing numerous ultrasounds. But again, that's obviously something that you and your gynecologist need to discuss. It does require an exam, and there's so many things, obviously infectious and otherwise, that need to be covered here. But definitely go see your gynecologist more than just for the pelvic exam. You know, pelvic exams, when pelvic ultrasounds are performed, certainly there are certain things that your gynecologist was looking for, but it's the mucosa, it's the actual visual examination, and perhaps something to do with an infection in that area that needs to be looked at more closely.
Hey, Ben.
Yeah.
I know you don't speak in terms of this as a doctor, but it really just seems like some people got lemons for a vagina. They just got a lemon. There's a lemon law. Like when you get a bad car, the one out of every 2,000 cars that rolls off the assembly line, it's just a lemon.
Yeah.
And you know what? They bring it back and they fix it and they fix it and they fix it and they fix it, and it's always something new and nobody can figure out what it is. But you know what it is? Ultimately and sort of cosmically, it's like bad. Like one out of every X amount just is bad.
Mm.
And there's people that are this way. They're allergic to everything. They can't see anything. They're, you know, these are the people who need back surgery because they got out of bed the wrong way in college and stuff. Like they're just lemons. What do you do when you're a lemon? When you've got a vagina that's a lemon, there's no recall.
Yeah, there's no recall. So you just got to work with it, and you got to find what will work for you.
Well, would you start working another angle? Like, and would you start getting into yoga and you know, stop eating dairy or something? I mean, would you, you know, find some bizarre religion? You know what I mean? Would you just try to shake it up?
It may be a matter of finding the right lubricant. It may be the changing condoms. It might be getting rid of a chronic yeast infection. But you try to work with it. So you see somebody who can help you, and you go from there. You do your best.
All right. Robert?
Robert, awake?
Robert, who is 13 and calling from New Mexico. Robert? All right.
Mm-hmm. Robert's gone.
Should be awake. He's only been on hold for 9.5 minutes.
Okay.
Or maybe he's not responding to his fake name.
I'm here.
Oh, there he is.
That was Robert. Okay.
Hey, Robert.
Hi.
Hey.
Can you call in 5 minutes?
You're 13, what?
Can you call in 5 minutes?
You want me to call you back?
Yeah.
All right, buddy. On the house phone, or you want me to call you in the car?
In 5 minutes.
Are you on your cell or are you on the house phone?
On the cell.
On your cell?
Yeah.
All right, I'll ring you up. I'm just going to do one ring and hang up, and then I'll call back so you know it's me, all right?
Okay.
All right, buddy. Yeah. I'll talk to you in 5.
Okay.
Tight 5, though, right? Not 10. Tight 5?
Yeah.
Talk to you in 5.
Yeah.
All right, Bobby.
Thanks.
Take care, buddy. One ring. One ring code. All right.
Ouch.
All right, so we're going to call... call him back. I'm guessing his dad walked in the room and there was some code going on there, right?
Yeah, I don't know. What was that?
Well, we didn't call him in the first place.
No,
so
it was
calling
definitely
him
code.
Back wouldn't be an option.
Right.
All right. All right, well, his dad will go to sleep and or pass out, and then he'll ring us back. Holly?
Where's my bourbon?
Holly?
Holly?
Yeah?
Holly, you're 16. You're on with Dr. Ben, the coochie doctor.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm 16, and I'm really, really attracted to older men.
Mm-hmm. How old?
Like, in their, at the youngest, in their early 20s. But in the oldest, like, in their 30s, late 30s, yeah.
Have you really given this a lot of thought, I can see.
Well, no, because I was thinking, I was somewhere else right there.
Okay.
Hmm.
All right.
Maybe she's talking to Robert.
No, sorry, my friend is on the other phone, and so I'm attracted to older men.
Okay, and these are guys that are quite a bit older than you.
Yeah, quite a bit.
Have you had a relationship with any of them?
Well, kind of, but not really. Just all like, so what's up, baby? And then we fool around, but then I leave, and then we never talk again.
What do you do when you fool around?
Basically anything but sex.
Oral sex?
Uh-huh.
And these guys are in their 30s?
Oh, sorry.
Anderson.
Probably. I don't think I've done anything bad when they're in their 30s, but...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Late 20s?
Okay. Where's your dad?
Right.
He's deceased.
Uh-huh. There it is. When did your mom kill him?
3 years ago.
He died 3 years ago?
Yeah.
How'd he die?
Hold on. Sorry. Colon cancer?
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, 3 years ago. Oh, you're 16. All right. That could have been just, you could have just missed a cut there.
Because
I was going to say that if you were 14 or 15 when your dad died, usually you can get by without having any weird syndromes. I mean, you can miss your dad and you might have a little trouble with intimacy, but you don't necessarily long for older guys. But at 12 or 13, it's right there.
What was your relationship with your dad, Holly?
I was a lot closer to him than I am with my mom.
Yeah.
My mom don't really get along. Well, we do, but like not as good as her and my sister.
Right. So that was pretty tough when your dad passed away.
Yeah.
Well, this is probably connected to that, Holly. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I don't know, because I've had, like, he was around a lot, but not really, so I've had, like, a lot of father figures in my life.
Yeah.
But...
What's that mean? You mean boyfriends of your mom's?
Well, like, really good, my friends, like, I get attached to, like, their parents, like, easily.
Uh-huh.
And, like, I didn't see my dad a lot, because he was, like, a druggie and a dealer.
Yep. Oh.
And, yeah.
Yeah. I was picturing the Ranger dad from Gentle Ben,
right.
You know, when he passed away from colon cancer and you guys were pretty tight, and then he just kind of took a little slide for the worse. He's the druggy dealer. All right. Hey, Holly.
Yeah.
You're going to have some issues.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
I have issues.
Right. Okay. So how about a little therapy?
Well, I've been in and out since I was like 7.
All right. Well, now you need to stay in a little longer.
It doesn't help.
I know that's what you think, but it will. You don't have much choice.
Okay.
All right, so here are your two things you need to do. You need to get some therapy because you had a druggy dad who dealt and then died early, and you got all kinds of weird mixed feelings about him, and there's probably parts of you that are angry at him, and rightfully so, and there are parts of you that miss him and mourn his loss. And now you're acting out on it because you're 16 and you're becoming a woman, and you gotta work on it. All right. All right, hey, Holly?
Huh?
Yeah, good times there, baby. Take care of yourself. All right.
Wow.
Well, listen, this is why we can't help anybody on this show.
Mm.
They're very distracted.
Right. They're too busy talking on the phone or talking to somebody else in code.
Let me make this thought. I really, you know, when a horse has a broken leg, we shoot it, you know, but people, we got a plan for them.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm thinking maybe just giving them the bullet too.
Aye.
Do you think?
Well, I heard that. Yeah. When you're going to be, isn't it? When you're ruling this place, you're going
right.
to have some laws. Okay.
Right.
That would be one of them.
Here's the thing about people that here's the thing that disappoints me most in life. The reason you shoot the horse is because there's really not much. There's nothing you can do for the horse, and the reason you rehabilitate a person or you work with a person is because they have the potential for change. The problem is they almost never act on that potential. So you might as well just put a bullet in then, too. That's what I'm saying. Do you see what I'm saying?
I think that's a very pessimistic view of people.
Well, I only got it through extensive research of doing this show. I mean, Holly knows what she has to do,
right.
and it's pretty clear, and her dad was a dealer and a drug addict, and now she's chasing older guys and all sorts of stuff, but I don't see her doing it. Not for a long time.
No.
That's the sad part.
She lives for that stuff, actually, so I'm sure it won't be easy to kick.
Back into therapy, and meanwhile, everybody, you know what you're doing, so don't do it. I mean, you know why you're calling, you're attracted to older guys, you understand this is a problem. So just feel free to govern yourself a little bit. Una?
Yeah?
Is that your name?
It's Una.
Una. I you know, for me, this is why I don't gamble. My head went Una, 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 Una.
People get confused all the time. It's all right.
Okay. What's that mean?
I know it means... It means something in Hebrew, and then it means something in Irish.
Ben, what's it mean?
Nothing in Hebrew that I can think of, not off the top of my head.
Wait, you think it means Uno? all right, so anyway. So you don't know what your name means?
In Irish, I can't remember what it means.
Okay.
No, but it's not Hebrew, I think it means like...
Okay, isn't Irish English? It's just we can't understand them?
No, Irish is like Celtic.
Okay. I've never been satisfied with an answer on the show, and I don't even know why I ask. I ask them what their name means. I just assume that's a layup, and no.
Yeah.
Not to be.
You got to work on the problem, not the name.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Let's work on the problem.
It's my problem for talking to you. Go ahead.
It's all right. Well, thank you very much for taking my call first.
Thanks for calling.
Kind of like I'm a little nervous, but my question is, me and my boyfriend have been together now for 6 months, and we finally decided to have sex for my first time because I'm a virgin, and he's like way more experienced than me. We tried the other night, and it just didn't work.
What didn't work? And first of all, maybe what did you use for contraception?
We use a condom, and I'm on birth control.
Okay. So what was it that didn't work?
Like, we couldn't even, like, get it in. And I don't know, maybe it was because I was too nervous. Or
what do they call that? Vaginismus? Is that what that is?
Well,
tightens up. Like one of them sea urchins?
Did it hurt?
It wasn't so much that it, like, tightened up, but, like, just couldn't, like, get it in.
Yeah, well, that'd be because it tightened up, though, right?
No, it was more like the angle.
Oh, well, look, what do you want me to do? Go over there and grab him by the balls and get it?
No, I was just wondering if maybe you had any ideas on, like, an easier way of doing it or something.
Well, I thought he was Mr. Experienced.
Yeah.
He should be. He's quite a bit older than me.
But apparently he's not. I mean, he was stabbing you in the navel with his penis. You sure he knows his way around?
No, it wasn't really like that. It's like he was trying to be, like, as easy as possible, like, not being...
Right.
Forcing anything in any way.
Well, you're not finding the hole is probably the least painful. That's the most gentle I've ever heard a guy do it. Maybe you're never going to know it. All right, well...
So just be patient and try what works for both of you. Yeah. Just take your time.
I had another question, actually, about the Depo Provera set.
Okay.
I was just wondering what you knew about, like, side effects with that.
All right, hold on a second, because we're running late for break, and Una, if you listen, Dr. Ben will talk all about the side effects of the Depo. He's made himself a little note there. So when we come back, this guy was Mr. Experience. He probably nailed more chicks than Will Chamberlain. Couldn't find the answer.
I'll figure it out.
All right, we'll take a little break, and Dr. Ben will tell us all about the pros and cons of the Depo shot after this.
Okay.
Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Ben filling in for Dr. Drew, who will be back on Sunday to reunite with us here. Dr. Ben is a OBGYN, and he knows everything about what's going on beneath the waist or under the waist of a woman, and all about birthing and birth control and all that. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. When we left off, we were going to talk about the Depo-Provera shot, which Dr. Ben is not a huge fan of, and we haven't heard great things about on this show either.
Well, you know, when Depo came out, everybody was really excited because who wouldn't want a you get one injection and you're good for 3 months without having to take a pill every day. I mean, so certainly on the face of it, that looked like, you know, a great way to go. There are some side effects. It's a progestin-only injection, and progesterone is kind of like a not too distant cousin of testosterone. So for some women, we saw that it added to their weight, which, as you can imagine, was not too popular. Average weight gain on Depo is about 5 pounds for a year's use, but some people gain about 10 pounds after the injection and they just hate it.
Well, you say 5 pounds for
a year. In other words, if you get four injections once every 3 months for a whole year, the average amount of weight gain is about 5 pounds.
And if you stay on it for another year, will you get another 5 pounds?
No, there's just kind of this plateauing effect, but there's usually at least about a 5 pound weight gain on the drug. Now, again, that's on average, so you have some people who don't gain weight, but I've also seen some patients gain a lot more than 5 pounds.
And they bleed a lot?
Yeah, that's the other thing, is that it definitely causes bleeding abnormalities and irregularities. 50% of women after their second injection will stop having periods. And for some, it's no big deal if you sit down and explain to them that's most likely to happen. But some people just get really anxious about perhaps getting being pregnant and kind of missing it or not having that reassurance of having a monthly cycle, which they won't have on the Depo-Provera. That's another thing. Headaches are also kind of a side effect of the drug. And then finally, for some people, just real bad acne after getting the injection. So, you know, You kind of have to tread lightly with Depo. You have to go through a very lengthy explanation. If patients are still interested in trying it, you know, it could be very convenient. If they're lucky enough not to have any of the side effects that we sometimes see, then that's something that that's a drug that some patients actually really like to stay on.
What about, I want to ask you about Norplant too, but my other question was, after you get the Depo shot.
Yeah.
When is it safe to have sex?
Good question. So you want to, you know, if I remember correctly, Una was actually on birth control pills. So Una should come in while she's still taking the pills and get her injection. Usually, you'd want Una to be on the last part of the cycle, basically the last 7 days, those placebo pills when she's having a period. Then she'd come in, get her Depo injection, and she's good to go. For people who aren't on birth control pills.
You mean right there in the office?
Or? Yeah. You give it in the office, patients.
No, I mean you have sex with her in the office?
No, she gets the injection in the office and then basically comes in.
Oh, you don't have sex with her, though?
No.
So it's not like you take it for a spin. No. What I'm saying is a mechanic fixes the car. Sometimes he says, hop in. He takes around the block. He shows you what he's done. You know what I'm saying? You don't do that.
No.
Okay. All right. Well, I wouldn't operate that way, but that's fine if that's the way you choose to conduct your business. But what about someone who's not on anything?
So,
they get the injection
right.
of Depo.
Right.
When are they good to have sex?
They're good right away. So if you come in on your period, you do not have to use a backup method, you know, for any length of time. You're basically good to go as long as you come in on your period. So coming in on your first day of your period or the first 5 days of your cycle, that's the perfect time to get your Depo shot. If there's any doubt about irregular bleeding and you're not sure, you can, at the time that you're coming into your gynecologist's office, have a pregnancy test. With a negative pregnancy test while you're bleeding, you're good to have the shot, and you're also protected immediately.
So you're supposed to do it when you're beginning your period?
Mm-hmm.
That's
exactly.
And would you not give someone a Depo shot if they were in the middle between cycles?
Unless they could swear to you that they were either abstinent or there's just no way they could be pregnant. Because, you know, if somebody's ovulated and then comes into the office in the middle of their cycle and had sex 3 nights before, they could be pregnant right there and then, or could have gotten pregnant right there and then you wouldn't want to give them their Depo.
Hey, Jane?
Yes?
You're 18?
Hey.
Did you call last night?
I did.
All right, and you're having a dream, but we never talked to you?
No.
Were you having dreams about having sex with your dad?
Uh-huh.
Perfectly normal, perfectly healthy?
Yeah.
Really? You have sex, intercourse with your dad?
Yeah, well, I mean, just like every so often.
Sure.
I have a dream, and it'll be, you know, like, not for sure, like, it's not super graphic, but I know that it's him. And, I don't know, like, it doesn't, like, I don't climax ever, but I'm definitely dreaming about it.
Yeah. Has he ever touched you?
In real life, no.
Yeah. Why do you think you would have these dreams?
I don't know. Because I look up to him. I don't know. Oedipus complex, like.
Oh, okay. But there's nothing bizarre that we need to know about.
No.
And how often do you think you have these dreams?
I mean, every, like, couple months or...
And how do you know it's your dad? He just looks like him? You know it's him?
Yeah, or it's supposed to be him. Like, that's what I'm dreaming about. I just know, you know? It's
fantastic. Yeah. All right. But you love him, and he's never molested you, and he's not beat on you or anything like that?
Nothing like that.
All right. Well.
No problem.
Good enough. Yeah. I mean, look, here's the thing. I don't know how Dr. Ben feels about this, but I know I speak for Dr. Drew when I say that you're allowed to think weird things and maybe even do weird things once in a while as long as there's nothing weird compelling you to do it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Totally.
And if there's nothing in your past that's driving you this way, and there's nothing we need to know about, and this is just one of those strange, unexplained parts of the human psyche that crops up every once in a while, fine.
No.
Yes. All right, we're going to take a little break. Dr. Ben is in here. He's a gynecologist filling in for Dr. Drew, and we'll be back with him and you after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Ben.
Hi.
Dr. Ben is filling in for Dr. Drew. I almost said Dr. Bruce, but in a way he is filling in for Dr. Bruce, who did a good job last night. Dr. Drew will be in here on Sunday night. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Ben is a gynecologist, knows all about that part of the body. Also about birth control and birthing and all that. So let's get back to the phones and speak to Trevor. Trevor?
Hey, what's up, Adam?
Hey, Trevor, you're 20.
Can I ask you a question real quick, Adam?
Yeah.
Was that your first time on Stern about 4 months ago?
Yeah.
You guys are great, you and Jimmy.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, always enjoyed Stern, but never did have a chance to do the show. But we went out there a couple months ago and got to do it for a few days.
Yeah, that's cool.
Oh, thanks.
Okay, Dr. Ben?
Yeah.
Okay, my girlfriend has larger labias than, I guess, normal women. And she's been worried. She's worried about I'm not. I could care less. But she was wondering, what is the type of surgery that you do on that? Is it painful, long?
Well, okay. First of all, why is she interested in having surgery? What is it about it that bothers her?
It's not as normal as it's just odd to her because they're so larger. Like in bikinis, you can actually kind of tell there's little meat down there.
Yeah, that's
all
right.
She's worried. Like I'm worried about. I have a little love, and I might be worried about that. You know, she's probably just worried about that.
Well, I mean, you know, she needs to think about what exactly she doesn't like about that. But certainly there are.
Well, she doesn't like being different.
I guess, and if it bothers her enough, and she wants to look into it, there's certainly surgeries that you can do to reduce the size of the labia.
Does that cut off the sense?
No, you stay away. You know, the most sensitive part would be the parts around the clitoris. You would stay away from there, and you would just thin out the parts that are accessory on the outer. Edges, those are the parts that you would go for. Nothing towards the clitoris.
And is the recovery time long? Or?
It can take, you know, the recovery time has to do with how long the sutures are going to dissolve. And, you know, usually you would use sutures that would take about 4 to 6 weeks to completely dissolve. So
you got to stay off the vagina for 4 to 6 weeks.
That would mean a 4 to 6 week break. That's right.
Hey, Trevor.
Yeah.
We had a guy in here who did this, did the hymen reconstruction and did all sorts of cosmetic stuff involving the vagina. And boy, you know you've run out of things to do as a society when you're getting into making that part look a little nicer. But he did it for a living, but it wasn't all that expensive and it wasn't all that bizarre complicated.
I mean, is it common? Did he get a lot of...
I'd say about one out of every two women has this done. No, it's not common for most women, but this guy's probably done hundreds or thousands of them over the years.
How common is it in all women, though? Because I've been probably with 10 or 15 women. I've never never seen anything like that.
You know, it honestly, Trevor, I've run into this very rarely where somebody goes out of their way to say, you know, I feel a little, it's just, it's kind of an unusual thing to say.
All right,
I've heard it before, but it's unusual.
You have seen thousands of vaginas, right, Dr. Ben?
Okay, so
quiet down there, Trevor. Just listen up. Yes.
So what are you getting at? What's the point? Where are we going with this?
Oh, I just love it when you play stupid. What I'm saying is professionally,
yeah,
and socially, you've seen millions, maybe, of vaginas. Maybe if you count each, you know, if there's four, you got the labia majora and minora, and there's four per vagina, it could be into the hundreds of millions now that you've seen. They come in all different shapes and sizes,
right.
Correct?
Okay.
And do you see the larger labia? How common is that? I guess that's what Trevor's asking. Now, not how often do people want to change it, but how often do you see it out there?
People come in all sizes and shapes, and you do, you know, everybody's different, and you see some that are bigger and some that are smaller, and then, you know, if they are bigger, it doesn't bother people.
Right.
Which is an interest, you know, when you start having people that are to the point where they want to work on it, you have to kind of wonder what the motivation is and where they're coming from.
That's a very good point.
Where that comes from.
Yeah, unless it's, you know, grotesquely large, but it's probably not.
I have never seen something grotesquely large.
Okay.
Say that.
Also, with the current pubic hairstyles that the ladies are wearing down there, which you must keep on top of in your profession, you know, there's not as much covering it up down there.
Okay.
So, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of like, you know when they say you got to get in shape for the summer?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're walking around in a tank top?
Yep.
This is like women have to do this with the current trends in keeping the hair cropped short down there. Mm-hmm. You kind of get to see everything. Everyone becomes a gynecologist.
Okay.
So, in back in the 70s, you probably wouldn't have known it on this woman because the hair would have come down to a point where you wouldn't have noticed it.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying?
Yep.
So I do a lot of thinking.
Yeah. You.
Thank you.
You do.
Okay. So, Trevor, your job is to make her feel like this is a gift, not a curse, and that she's special and does not need to do this. And it's surgery, man.
It is
and,
surgery.
I don't have a vagina, though it's been argued that I do, but technically I don't. But if I had a vagina, I would not want that. That'd be the last part I'd want touched.
It's painful.
Thank you.
Recovery is painful.
My vagina is the size of a 50-gallon drum. Andy?
Hello, hey there, hi.
Hey, you're 24, what's up?
Yeah, I've got a question. Probably for Dr. Ben, because you hopefully have found out more about it. Question about emergency contraception in California. That recent law that Wilson signed, well, I think October or something, you can get over the counter. Now,
okay, Andy, I'm listening.
Okay. Would you know of where, you know, that people can head for, specifically in general, like, you know, hey, head down to the local Walmart, Savons, et cetera. What establishments have it, you know, readily available, say, you know, tomorrow, tonight, if things happen?
Right. Although I have to say, Andy, that at this point, I'm not aware of any law that's currently on the books that allows anybody to give it out without a prescription. But I think that would be great. You know, in other countries, birth control pills are given without prescriptions, and emergency contraception is basically, you know, one form of emergency contraception is essentially taking birth control pills in somewhat larger quantities, and
right.
I think it would be a great law to have on the books where, specifically with emergency contraception to allow people to have access to these things, so.
As per usual, the pussy politicians won't touch this with a 10-foot pole because everything is about, you know, staying away from this subject. It's just total taboo. And people are completely misinformed about this. And it's sad. And it's sad that I was talking to that old bag, Maxine Waters. What is she, was she like a assemblywoman or something?
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't even know where she is. I saw her last time I did Politically Incorrect. I did Politically Incorrect today. That's why I'm on this jag. But I ran into her last time I did it about 4 months ago, and I asked her, what are you doing about this emergency contraception? And she said, she didn't know what it is, what it was. And then she said she'd have to look into it and see how safe it was. And she'd want to research it a little more. A classic politician. Maxine Waters is like Aunt Esther from Sanford and Son. Only dumber. And she didn't know where she was. She was like eyeballs, like spinning around like a slot machine. And so I said to her, hey, there's no research to be done. It's perfectly safe. Why aren't you getting into this? Well, it's just more doublespeak by the politicians. And I said, listen, your constituency could use this. I mean, these are your people. And she had no idea what I was talking about, and I'm sure she's done nothing. She's too busy arguing about secondhand smoke and important topics like that. So, Andy?
Yeah, thing is that in California, that bill has been passed, and it took effect January 1st, yesterday.
Oh, good.
So it's like SB 116 and...
Well, I don't think Walmart is going to do it. They're not going to have it. They're fine with firearms, but when it comes to this kind of taboo stuff, they're not into that. Communists.
Right. So part of me is kind of like, get the word out.
Yeah.
Like what I do and, you know, what you've been doing, Adam, with Dr. Drew and Dr. Ben, Dr. Bruce, et cetera. Get the word out that, yes, it is... legally available without a prescription.
Where? They need to know where, Andy,
in
right?
The state of California, also in the state of Alaska.
Well, that's a drive.
Yeah. But it is good to go, and you're legally able to get it in California.
Well, good. Andy, you keep spreading the word, and we'll do the same. And to me, it's such a no-brainer. And, you know, it's like all you right-wing Bible thumpers, you're so against abortion, yet as soon as somebody comes up with an idea that might cut into your precious abortions just a little bit, you're not a fan of that either. So what is it? Are you lying? Do you know what I mean? Do you really not? Do you want to get rid of abortion, or do you just want to complain and sort of tell people what to do? It's, you know what it is? People hate the idea of people having sex for free. They want them to be held accountable. And they can't stand the idea that people can have sex, possibly meaningless sex, and walk away with no repercussions. They don't like that. That's what it is. When they say they don't like abortion, it's not the abortion part they don't like. It's the fact that these people out of wedlock are having unholy sex and then just walk away. That's what they don't like, because the second you say to them, hey, you don't like abortions, here's a way to cut into it. We got this emergency contraception pill. None of them are for it.
Mm.
Now, how do you explain that? Part of it is they have a sort of retarded scientific logic that thinks the Earth is 2,000 years old and, there's some parting of some seas and some burning bushes and that, you know, that kind of, you know, retarded voodoo biblical logic. But the other part is they're angry people that don't like the idea of folks having sex. That's why they don't want it. Can you give me an explanation why people aren't for this?
You know, I can't, because I'm on the side of the issue that people should be able to have this available to them. So I've seen when this is not available what can happen, and it's definitely easier to just make it available to everyone.
Why don't the doctors band together and try to get this message across?
I know there are doctors that are members of some of the organizations that are pushing very hard to get this across, but doctors are also members of organizations that don't want to get this across.
Well, there's pharmacists who won't hand it out because they think it's an abortion pill.
Everybody's got an opinion, and just because they're a pharmacist or a doctor doesn't mean that they're all falling in line. So you've got people on separate sides of the issue in the medical profession, the healthcare profession.
Why in general, and I scream this at Drew all the time, and he has no good answer, although he rarely has a good answer for any question I give him, which is, what's with the prescription for everything? Why do I need a prescription for crab cream? Do I need a goddamn prescription for crab cream?
Not in every country, but in this country,
why?
You seem to
for
need
crab
one
shampoo?
For everything. Yeah.
Why?
Well, some of the crab shampoos cannot be, for example, they can have theoretical side effects for things like in pregnancy, for example. So you wouldn't want to make it available without at least somebody talking to you about it. But
fine.
In many countries, a pharmacist does this, and basically, you know, once a patient's counseled, can buy it over the counter without a prescription, but with a pharmacist's counseling.
Yeah, let the guy who sells it to you tell you, hey, if you're pregnant, don't use it.
Yeah, so, definitely. It's definitely a lot harder to get things in this country than in other places, and sometimes to the detriment of, free access to some very, very needed medications.
Well, it just seems like anything that works needs a prescription.
Mm-hmm.
You can get crab shampoo that's good for the crabs. It's actually shampoo for the crabs. It cleans the crabs.
Mm-hmm.
That you can get no problem. But the stuff that actually kills the crabs, you got to go blow a doctor to get that. And people are embarrassed about this, or they don't want to talk to their physician about it, or maybe it's the morning after pill we're talking about here. And it just seems to me like it would just be a better place if people could get the stuff they needed and not have to, especially uneducated, uninformed young people who don't have resources, who cannot get their hands on this stuff. And there's a window, especially when it comes to the morning after pill, that once that window closes, now you got another unwanted pregnancies.
Right.
And all you freaks out there who are freaked out against abortion, guess what? Now you got a real abortion.
Yeah.
Idiots. And where are the politicians? They make me sick. They never touch this. They never talk about it. They're such pussies. Lena? Lina?
Lena.
Lena?
Culver City. Lena.
It was Venus.
All right. Well, hold on. I'm disgusted at her.
Okay.
Disgusted at all the use tonight. Nina?
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay.
22.
How are you doing tonight?
Good,
Nina.
Okay, I actually had a question about cramps.
Okay.
I was extremely involved in skating for a long time, and I quit doing that, and all of a sudden I get these horrendous cramps where I can't stand up, I can't work, I can't sleep. I can't do anything, really. I need at least, 2,000 milligrams of, a leaf to end it.
Mm. So, Nina, you basically, how old were you when you first started having periods?
14.
And you had a period of time that you weren't having these problems?
Yeah, there was a long period of time, and as soon as I became inactive, it picked up. I just don't know what went wrong.
Were you ever taking birth control pills during any time?
What does this have to do with skating?
I thought maybe it had something to do with being physically active.
Well, if you were lighter and you've put on some weight, it could potentially have something to do with that, because you're making more estrogen when you're a little heavier, and that can increase menstrual flow.
What kind of skating?
Figure skating.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Where do you go down there, to that Laurel Plaza Mall?
I actually go to El Segundo, the Health South Training Center.
Oh, you're pretty serious, right?
Yeah.
Are you going to go for the Olympics?
Trying to.
Wow.
Yeah. So I picked it up again, but they're still here. I don't know. I thought maybe it could be ovarian cysts.
Let me take you through some of the stuff that you would need to go through in order to figure out what's going on. So you definitely need a quick physical exam, and perhaps even
to the gynecologist.
Yeah, you need to go to a gynecologist, get a quick physical exam, perhaps even a gynecologic ultrasound, just to be sure that there isn't anything anatomic going on. As long as the anatomy checks out okay, you definitely have some choices. One is birth control pills that have been shown to decrease menstrual cramping by at least 50%. And the other thing would be, if you don't want to take a pill every day, is to do exactly what you've been doing and take an anti-inflammatory on an as-needed basis.
Is there anyone you can recommend other than a leaf? Because I think I'm becoming immune to that, so I have to keep taking a higher dosage every time.
You can't.
I think it's dangerous, isn't it, for stomach bleeding?
Okay, so you can't really get immune to an anti-inflammatory per se, but you can definitely try other anti-inflammatories that may be more effective. And, for example, you see some patients who do well with one and, then not do well with another, and you just kind of tend to find your way, and you have plenty over-the-counter anti-inflammatories. The one that I really like is just Advil, ibuprofen. So Motrin, Advil, ibuprofen. You need to take about 800 milligrams with meals to protect the stomach lining. So you go with breakfast, lunch, and dinner, 800 milligrams at a time. Usually the over-the-counter tablets are 200 milligrams, so you will need to take 4 tablets 3 times a day with breakfast, lunch, and dinner for a total of 12 tablets a day.
Really?
That'll work.
You know, none of that stuff's got any pop in it, That's my problem with the over-the-counter stuff. I'm what you call heavyweight.
Mm.
Nothing seems to work too good for me.
Mm.
Drew gives me one of his industrial strength sleeping pills that, he scores, because he's a doctor.
Okay.
All. He gives me one of those. I wash down a couple of Bloody Marys. I still talk his ear off all the way to New York.
Okay.
Much to his dismay.
He just tried to keep you quiet.
Yeah. No, he wants to take his ASAT test or something on his Scantron paper, but he doesn't fool me.
Okay.
here's my point. I want a store called the Adult Store that you get to go to.
And buy the big
boys'
pills.
Because here's the bottom line.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I'm going on a jag tonight, but these crappy attorneys and horrible, horrible human beings have really destroyed the earth for me.
The attorneys. Okay.
Here's what I'd say. The horrible, horrible people that have sued hundreds of times, and then the horrible leech, crackpot attorneys that represent these people.
Mm-hmm.
I went into a, Robex juice place today. I, bought that $20 worth of juice.
Wow.
I wanted to, then use the bathroom, and they said, sorry, you cannot. They knew me there. I've been there. They say, you cannot. Why can't I use the bathroom? Because I could slip, and they're not insured.
Wow.
And here's the deal. So this is why. Anybody who sued more than three people in their life should just have their head taken off, because they're screwing all of us slowly. Now I got to take a leak out in the parking lot because some pussy is suing.
Wow.
Understand, we all get screwed and no one even knows it. I can't take a leak at the juice place because I could sue them, and their attorney says, you know what, nobody but employees goes back here because we just can't chance it.
Wow.
And then we slowly get crushed. That's it. We can only take a leak at home, and even that may come to an end soon one day if somebody gets sued for taking a leak in their own bathroom. But here's what I want. I want the Adult Store. I want to get the lighter that doesn't have the childproof thing on it. I want the aspirin that doesn't take three hands and a pair of channel locks to get the goddamn lid off of. I want to go in there, and I'm going to get some industrial strength sleeping pills. I want to get some crab cream and a bottle of tequila. And when you walk through the door of the Adult Store, you've waived all rights. You can no longer sue anybody. If I get hopped up on these painkillers,
right,
or on this Tylenol with the extra shot of codeine in it, right, or I OD on the crab cream, or I take too much of the morning after pill, there's no legal recourse. I bought it at the Adult Store. Or if I set my trailer on fire because I got hopped up on the extra codeine Tylenol and then started experimenting with the lighter and burnt my house down, you know what? No legal recourse. I bought it at the Adult Store. Because I spend my life trying to negotiate a lighter that's meant not to be used and trying to get the cap off mouthwash that was never meant to come off because a retarded kid OD'd on it 8 years ago somewhere in Alabama.
Mm.
That's what I want. I want the Adult Store.
I think it's called Tijuana.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, you
right,
go to Tijuana.
You're right. I'm going to Tijuana. It's very smart. Oh, please, just give me some sleeping pills that work. That's all I want.
Tijuana.
I promise. Go to Tijuana?
Hmm.
Okay. We're going to take a little break. Yeah. I'm going to talk to Dr. Ben about wet sleeping pills. I actually have some kick to them. And we'll be back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Ben. Dr. Ben is filling in for Dr. Drew, who will be here on Sunday night. Back in the throne. All right. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Let's get back to the phones and speak to Ray. Well, hold on a second, Ray. What was this chick's name?
I think it was Lena.
Yeah, but it wasn't Lena.
Yeah, she didn't
like
Lena.
Venus.
Venus, that's right.
Hey, Venus.
Hello.
Hey. You're 18.
Yes, I am.
All right, what's up?
Okay, I've been with my boyfriend for about 3 years, and it's been really good. You know, he was my high school love and everything, so of course I love him. But for the past 6 months, he's had different friends because he got a new job. And, like, when we do it, you know, it's like he wants to do it in my butt, in my ass, and that's not very comfortable.
I see.
But I went for it because I was like, okay, well, maybe, you know, okay, maybe he wants to try new things. But now it's like for the past month, that's the only way he wants it. And before when my friends would come over, he'd be like, yeah, let's have a threesome with one of your friends or something, one of my friends from my job. And we've done it like twice, and now he doesn't even ask for that.
Wait a minute. Did you do the threesome thing, or you did the butt thing?
Yeah, we've done it in the past. We've
the threesome.
Before. Yeah, we've done it before.
Oh, sure.
And now he doesn't even ask for that. He wants to go out with his friend who works nights now. I mean,
all right.
Everything's just been changing, and I don't know whether to ask him, are you gay?
Wait a second. The threesome, was that with you and him and a girl?
Yeah.
And a girl. Mm-hmm. And he had sex with her?
Yeah.
Yeah?
and me, and we would do.
And who was the girl?
Oh, just one of my friends from my old job.
Jeez, where are you working, at the slut factory?
No.
What the hell? Wasn't. What the hell goes on here?
Yeah.
Where was I? what is this? I work with, like, felons and illegals, and we did nothing. Nothing. Jesus Christ. And it didn't bother you to
watch him
have sex with your friend?
Oh, no, because this is like, well, she's been my best friend forever, right?
Oh, well, you guys are tight.
Sure,
it's okay.
Yeah. It's totally
and
fine.
Like,
it's different.
I don't know. And now he doesn't even want to do that. And, like, normally we'd have, like, wild sex, and now it's just, like, one person now. And
hey, what happened to you, Venus? What's wrong with you? Something's up.
With me?
Where's your dad?
My dad? Me and him don't talk.
Why not?
Because he doesn't want to have nothing to do with me.
Why not?
I guess it's because the way I am.
Why?
I'm different from all his other kids. I dress, like, in black, and I'm into, like, the gothic scene. And he thinks, like, that's horrible.
Why do you think, did he do anything bad to you growing up?
No, he never, well, he was always in and out of my life, because my dad and my mom were never married, so.
You got a lot of brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I have younger.
You
I have two younger brothers and two younger sisters.
By him?
No, one was by my mom and my stepdad, and the other one was just by him and his wife, which his wife hates me.
Everyone hates everyone, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. What about your younger brothers and sisters? Are they being taken care of?
Oh, yeah.
All right. So you're into that goth crap?
I'm not into it, but I dress in black, but I don't, like, do their classic
clothes. When did you lose your virginity?
When I was 15.
All right. And no, with who? Your crazy boyfriend?
Yeah.
And no trauma? No one ever did anything bad to you? Beat on you or anything?
No.
You just got into that black thing, huh?
Yeah, I like the color black, and my best friend's into that, and we just, like, been like that ever since we were in fifth grade.
Okay. Well, why don't you break up with this guy?
I mean, I don't know, because I love him and everything, but I just don't know.
Well, what's not to love? But I think it's maybe run its course, don't you think?
But, I don't know. Like, he always tells me we're going to get married and all that stuff, but I mean, if I have these things that he's gay, that's...
Well, why do you think he's gay? Why do you think he's gay?
Because that's the only way that he wants to do it now, and I mean, he has.
Well, that doesn't make you gay. It just makes you a prick.
Yeah, but for the past 6 months...
Hey, well, listen, that just makes you aggressive. It doesn't make you gay.
Well, I don't know. That's kind of... weird for me.
Okay, well, why don't you have a sit down with him, and so your ass is covered, and then you can have a discussion about why it is that's the only way he wants to do it, and just tell me you don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel loving enough for you.
I know, but what would provoke him to be gay?
I don't know. He's gay, that's for sure. Hey, here's a question: mm-hmm. What would provoke you to stay with a gay guy?
I don't know. I'd love
All right.
Him.
Why don't you think about that, screwball?
Time to start listening, goddammit.
Drew, please. He's definitely gay, so why are you with a homo?
I have no idea.
All right. Well, why don't you think about that, all right? Who's the idiot here? He's gay. You're with him. Think about that. You do the math. You become a fag hag now.
Okay, I'll do that.
All right. You think about that. Meanwhile, don't ever get pregnant.
Oh, no.
Don't get pregnant. You hear me?
She can't get pregnant that way.
No.
Okay, that's good. Oh, yes, you should keep... Okay, don't get pregnant, all right?
Oh, I'm not. I have things to prevent.
Good. All right.
Well, thank you.
Take care of yourself.
Tough love.
Well, look, I told her five times she wasn't listening, so screw her. Ray?
Yeah?
You're 16?
Yeah, first off, you know, I love the show, and Adam, you're God.
Thank you. Yeah, I know.
All right. Yeah, so, like, on Tuesday, me and my girlfriend were having sex, and then, like, she's about to climax, I think, and then, like, right before she did it, she tightened up, like, really tight, and then she, I pulled out, and then I was like, you know, what's up, and then she said, I don't know, I've never done that before, and then, the next day, when I was, trying to urinate, it hurt, like, a lot.
Yeah, you think it's because she clamped down on you?
Yeah, I mean,
that doesn't make sense. Nah, you could slam your pecker in a door, wouldn't do anything to it.
Well, I was just wondering, because, like, it hurts to urinate.
Nah, No, that's then you got a problem, like a venereal disease or something.
Yeah, then there's other things that you need to look into. But that wouldn't, what you're describing wouldn't do that.
You sure?
Yeah.
I think you may be making this up.
No.
No?
No.
Okay. Well, if it hurts, where's it hurt?
You need to get this
just
looked
like
at, right?
On the shaft.
Yeah. You go have that looked at.
Yeah, either way, you need to get it looked at. But I wouldn't think of that first. I would think of other things. And especially if you guys weren't using condoms, there's a lot of things that this could be. So I would definitely get it looked at.
Yeah, it's not like she got his pecker in a sleeper hold or something and did some nerve damage to it.
No.
That's, you know what I like about you, Ben?
Mm.
Besides you listening to me?
Yeah.
Which I'm sure would...
Drew doesn't listen to you?
No, he does not.
Okay.
But that would, I'm not kidding myself. You know, if you were here for 3 days, it'd be over with, I'm sure. But the fact that you come in twice a year and you listen to me.
Right.
You know, you're a logical thinker. See, Drew and other people, they go, oh, no. Well, wait a minute. If she clamped, no way. Uh-huh. It's all moist down there. She clamps. First off, it's not like her vagina gets a running start at his penis. It's already wrapped around his penis. It tightens up a little. Not so tight that he can't slide it out. That does zero damage. Zero. It's almost a mathematical impossibility for it to do any real damage. And that's why I think that was a bogus call. Because I think he was trying to create a scenario in which we think it could do some damage, but we're too smart. You know about vaginas. I know about penises. Together, we're unstoppable. You got a pair of brand new roller skates. I got a brand new key. You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
I love schlong. Audrey?
Yeah.
You're 19?
Yeah.
We could take over the world. Our knowledge of my rudimentary knowledge of penis and the workings of the adolescent mind and Dr. Ben and his knowledge of the vagina.
Okay.
Hmm. Rule the world. You hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I'm really nervous. I don't know why.
All right. Well, don't be.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. Could I ask you my question?
Yeah. Go ahead, Andre.
Okay. Like, I'm a virgin and I want to stay one until for a while.
Okay.
And then I was wondering, like, could masturbation, like, get any diseases or, like, prevent me from, like, having babies or anything in the future?
No.
At all?
No.
No.
You're fine.
What'd you do? Were we, like, a homeschooling kid?
No, it's just that, like, I don't know. I'm just not... I just want to save myself for marriage, but then...
No, I mean, how come you don't know anything about how any of this stuff works?
I don't know. It's, like, I don't want to dig into it because it's kind of personal. It's kind of weird to ask people, so...
Right, I don't know, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
But you thought maybe masturbation could screw up your opportunity to have kids?
I don't know, it's just like could it lead to any diseases or anything like that?
No.
At all? Like,
no.
Is it totally normal?
It's fine.
What are you going to do?
Totally
you,
normal.
You give yourself syphilis?
No.
What do you think's going to happen?
That's what I wanted to know.
No, you could piss off God. You ever think about that?
Oh, Adam, it's true.
Yeah, and I feel bad about that, too.
Yeah, because you're a religious person, right?
Yeah.
Right, that's why you're a virgin.
Uh-huh.
And here you are attacking yourself at your own hand.
I know.
Pleasuring yourself with your own hand. That's a sin, you know.
Is it? I know it's bad, but then it's hard, I guess.
It's there in Deuteronomy.
Yeah.
It says, thou shalt not seek pleasure at one's hand. In one's own hand.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Oh my God, that was mean.
You shouldn't covet your neighbor's hand or accent either.
Okay.
All right, so I'm just saying if you're staying a virgin because, mm-hmm. you know, religious beliefs, then, mm-hmm. you know, you're masturbating. That's a slap in the face to the Lord.
Yeah.
Slap in the face.
Yeah.
But not as bad. It'd be worse to have sex.
Yeah, exactly.
So this is better. This is better. Are you a big gal?
Am I big?
Yeah.
Not really.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was looking if there's any other, you know, motivation there. Do you have boyfriends?
I've had some, but then it's like, I think I grew up a lot faster than my peers.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, I had a rough childhood.
Uh-oh.
And then I think because of that, I don't really click with my age group right now.
What happened to you?
And my parents just divorced, and I was just, like, forced to grow up on my own and, like, stuff like that, I guess.
Okay. So you want to be a virgin until you're married?
Yeah, that's my plan.
Okay. Well, that's look. I think that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Do you meet? And what about oral sex?
I haven't got to that point yet.
Wow! Like you have almost no mileage on you.
Yeah, basically.
That's absolutely amazing.
I want to stay a virgin, so I just avoid myself from all those consequences.
How often do you masturbate?
Not often. It's just like, it would just go on for like, I don't know, like maybe once a week or something like that.
Right. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Are you doing all right? You're going to, where do you go? You go to junior college or something?
Yeah.
All right. Shocking.
So I'm doing well now, but then it's just like.
Yeah. All right, baby.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Well, you take care of yourself.
Okay.
And it's great. It's good that you're a virgin.
Thank you.
I think that's very refreshing in this day and age.
Thank you very much.
All right. And you can, you know, I know it sounded like I was poking fun at her, and I was, but think of how much trouble a young lady can steer clear of by just not leaving the house. I mean, there's just, from doing this show, it's just every single piece of trouble that comes to a young woman's life seems to be attached to a young man somehow. and vice versa to some degree, but more so for women. And I don't think it's a bad plan. Maybe not until marriage, but hang on till, 18, 19. That couldn't hoit, as your people would say.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. All right, let's take ourselves a little break. When we come back, we'll speak to Desiree, who's she's got a problem with her uterus tipping after a C-section. Is it what's etiquette on tipping a uterus? And what, 15%?
$5.
Five?
Nah, just across the board.
So it's just a straight five.
Yeah,
it's not
straight.
Not 15 or 20%?
No.
Okay. We'll take a break. We'll be back after this. Hey, everybody. So, it's a love line. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Ben filling in for Dr. Drew, who will be here on Sunday night. And let's see if we can power through a few more calls before we run out of time. Desiree?
Yes.
27 wants to know if it's common for, oh yes, the uterus to tip after a C-section.
Yes.
What about it, Ben?
Well, maybe Desiree, you can rephrase the question, or where does this come from? Give me a little background. What's
okay.
going on?
Well, I had my daughter 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
2 years ago, I had a miscarriage.
Mm-hmm.
When they were doing their sonogram and examining me, the doctor said, wow, they had a really hard time examining me.
Mm-hmm.
Said your uterus is tipped forward.
Yeah.
And he says, is that common after a C-section? I don't know. I mean, because I really didn't, after I had her, I didn't really rest. I started lifting.
No, first of all, you had nothing to do with this. Whatever happened, your body was healed regardless of what activity you did.
Okay.
But the only, let me just describe specifically what's done when you have a C-section. So an incision is made in the lower abdomen. You go through the superficial skin layer, the fat. We talked about spreading the muscle apart and then getting to the uterus itself. And then you sew all those layers back up together.
Mm-hmm.
They're all obviously the entrance as well as all the other incisions that are made in the front. In other words, underneath the belly button and in the front. And so when the body heals, there's scarring. And the scars are all in the front. And as you can imagine, when something scars up to the front, it can start pulling on things that are in front of it. And so the uterus can get tipped forward. It's not at all unusual. Some people scar more than other people. If you've ever seen somebody, for example, who keloids, if you've ever seen what a keloid scar looks like,
yeah.
You know, where it gets really, really thick.
Yeah.
Some people can do that underneath the skin. The external skin looks fine, but then there's really thick scar tissue underneath the skin, and that can really yank and pull things in different directions. And that may have happened to you.
Is that going to affect if
no.
I choose to get pregnant?
No, absolutely not.
Right.
So there's no long-term effects.
Good times. Valerie.
Hey.
19.
17.
17, I'm sorry. What's up?
I was wondering if it's possible to get pregnant by swallowing cum.
If you regurgitate it into your vagina, perhaps. That's what mother birds do to get their offspring pregnant.
No, I kind of knew that, but
you know about the birds? Oh, orally? Orally. Really? Is this, again, homeschooling going on here?
No, but I mean...
Do you have a biology teacher at school?
No, I mean, I don't mean to sound stupid, but...
Ooh,
like
it's too
50%
late.
Of the
50%, yes.
Yeah, 50% of the people I talk to say, yeah, I'm like, no.
Right, but those are your friends.
Huh?
I mean, you gotta look at it that way.
Yeah.
They're skewing stupid, right?
Yeah, they're also a bunch of virgins, too.
All right, so. They're idiots. Please.
Yikes.
Please, you've insulted the doctor.
Thank you.
Okay, no. Cannot be done.
Yeah, can't
be
done.
All right, thanks.
All right, good times, good times. Rectally, though, now that's a layup. That's going to happen. Andrea?
Yes.
You're 24, it's been 2 years since you've had a regular cycle.
Correct.
Oh, Christ. Make this fast, Ben. I've had enough vagina talk.
Basically, do you have any other medical problems, Andrea?
No.
Okay, you're not on any medications?
No.
And you're not taking birth control pills?
No.
A couple of things that could be, a very cursory examination can get to the bottom line, but you've had regular cycles before, they just kind of stopped.
Right, completely regular up until November of 99.
Okay, weight changes, thyroid disorders, prolactin disorders, there's a couple of tests and a quick exam, and you'll get to the bottom of it really quickly with a very brief visit to your doctor.
The thing is that I've gone to the doctor before, and I've had all my hormone levels checked and everything. Those have come back normal.
Mm-hmm.
I am, you know, obviously overweight for...
Okay. So we talked about weight changes. Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I've been kind of this way for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like it's a drastic weight change or anything like that.
Right.
So that's what I'm kind of confused on. I'm getting these different, you know, messages.
So, again, it all depends on how... basically brief or complete your blood workup. As you said, hormones, there's definitely a couple of hormones that need to be looked at. Those hopefully have been done, prolactin levels and thyroid hormone levels specifically. But if it bothers you all that much, you know, generally once we've ruled out kind of the big bad things, we can regulate you if you want to, specifically by putting you on birth control pills, or if you want just the reassurance of knowing there's nothing wrong with you and actually don't have a problem with being irregular, there's nothing wrong with that. So, again, a quick visit to the doctor, as long as the workup was complete, overwhelmingly it's going to be okay.
Brian?
Yeah?
You're 15?
Mm-hmm.
You look up to me?
All right. I just need to thank you.
Thank you.
Your sponsors don't tell you what to do.
Or sponsors? Might, which ones?
Just
I don't think we have sponsors. All I hear is public service announcements about airplane turbulence.
Brought to you by Westwood One and Trojan, America's number one condom. Trusted for over 80 years.
All right.
you don't go with the people on AM Northwest and those morning shows that are just plastic.
Like, I appreciate that. Let me say something about this show real fast, because I don't think people maybe understand how it works. We don't talk to anybody on this show, and we never have. I have no idea what stations this show is on. I've never spoken to a sponsor. I've never spoken to a program director outside of the program director that's in Los Angeles. And we've never done any local spots or commercials, and I have no idea. I have no idea, and I've never had the content of this show discussed with me or anybody. It sounds bizarre, and I think people maybe picture us having some meetings or talking about people adding the show or dropping the show or sponsors coming in or reading hate mail or reading mail of praise or meeting with Westwood One people. I don't know anyone at Westwood One. I've never met anybody, any sponsor, and I've never had a discussion with anybody about the content of this show outside of Kevin Weatherly, who is in Los Angeles, and that's probably once a year.
I don't like you.
So, and Dr. Bruce, who doesn't like me. Back me up here. Is there even email that we read? Like, I wouldn't know who the sponsors of this show are, would you?
No, we don't talk to our sponsors.
We don't know anything. But thank you, Brian. And I would kiss the man's ass if I could find it. We don't talk to anybody. I don't know what's going on. But,
all right.
Thanks, Brian. I'm guessing. It was a compliment, right?
It sounded like a compliment. Yeah.
All right, everybody.
Bye.
Well, we'll keep flying the show in the face of all who try to depose us.
I'm keeping it real, yeah.
Except for no one tries to depose. No one cares. The show's on late. No one's listening.
Hmm.
Ryan?
Yes?
You're 21?
Yes, I am.
Let's see. You haven't had a date in a year.
Yes, I have not.
You have not. You're good looking.
Yes.
Yeah, but guys can do this. Good-looking girls can't go a year without a date, but good-looking guys can do this because you can be creepy.
But it's rubbish when it happens when I have a good job.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want everything against me. I mean,
right. But maybe it's the fact that you're 21 and you're using words like rubbish.
Yeah.
That can turn a lady off.
Well, I didn't want to use sounding like words that. Because sounding like your air.
Sounding like Alistair Cook at age 21.
Let me tell you, I didn't want to use that word. But
how dare you, sir? How dare you use that tone with me?
Come on now.
All right. So where are you going to meet girls?
Bars, bowling alley. Not bowling alleys. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear the end of that one. But yeah.
Calling all nerds. Well, first off, hold on. You gotta like his use of alliteration. Bars, bowling alleys, bathwater.
He was taking you A through Z. He got stuck on the B's.
Right, okay.
Yeah. He was just getting warmed up.
Yeah, I was probably moving to circuses and carnivals, and then on to destruction derbies. I'm just going to keep rolling.
No, you forgot church masses, you know, that sort of thing, too.
Okay. Do you live at home?
No, I don't. You mean at home with my parents? No. I haven't lived at home with my parents since I was 18.
All right. So you're out on your own.
Yes.
You're making a living.
Yes.
You're everything's sort of going along okay.
Yes.
But, you're a little bit sketchy. I can hear it in your voice. Well, you have an energy to you.
Yeah.
Energy. I don't know what that means.
All right, I'll tell you. Jeez, I don't know if he's screwing with us or not. We're running late for
breakfast. You are an asshole.
Here's the deal, guys. You will talk yourself right out of the deal around women. If you got a decent car and you got a decent gig and you got a decent place, then shut up. Just shut up. Let them use that crazy, vivid imagination, God bless them with, to make you think you're so much smarter and so much deeper than you actually are. The second you start blabbing and start talking about rubbish. Now, what was the song? What was he saying? Poppycock? What was his word? Rubbish?
Yeah, he said rubbish.
You start throwing around rubbish, you freak them out. And you start getting into politics, and you just start freaking them out. Just don't talk. Just look good. And make them think that you're thinking. Because women think you're thinking when you're not thinking. But if you talk, then they know you're not thinking. Yeah, okay, that's a point. No talking. That's how I didn't get laid. I talk too much. I know more talking. Starting now.